You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is time for the sound effect that you all love the most, maybe next to the camel. It is Friday. Friday! You made it all the way through another week, and congratulations to it. So, yeah, it's Friday afternoon right now, and we're proud to be with you. And that's Boomer pushing the buttons on the board. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Yeah, and Butter is sitting here in the studio,
Butters
too.
Butters is here, too.
We got the Boomer and the Butters both in the studio, so too much fun to be had. Hey, listen, great show laid on for you. Yesterday we had, like, what, 57 callers? I mean, Boomer's like, I couldn't keep up. But we had a ton all in a row. Today, Congressman Mo Brooks is going to be calling in at 3 o'clock. He's got some insights. I mean, Lord, the man just served through some of the rockiest years, and he's got some keen insights on questions regarding border security. So, yeah, we'll talk to Congressman Mo Brooks coming up at 3 o'clock, and then I've got a triple dipper bar none, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm calling it the political arms race. So you've all seen the arms races that take place, like nuclear arms races or, you know, key weapon systems. I think right now artificial intelligence is technically going to be an arms race in a way. Well, what about a political arms race? What about when Democrats have been taking advantage of certain things and doing certain things during election cycles that, you know, whether we like them or not, those are the laws of their land? Maybe it's time for Republicans to get on board. We're going to talk about it. Is it time for us to change our ways and get into a political arms race? I don't know. Let's talk about it. That's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I'm calling it just simply build the wall. Build the freaking wall. Build the wall. This should not be rocket science. For a nation that put men on the moon, it should not be hard to build a wall on our southern border. But we make it into rocket science, literally. And yet, right now, I got updates on things that have been happening at the border, and we'll also talk with Congressman Mo Brooks and get his perspective on his time in service and how he dealt with some things. But yeah, number two, I'm just calling it build the wall. We need it. And then number three, so you'll understand more when you hear the stories that go with it. As I was going through this morning doing the resourcing, I kept finding stories where it was obvious that something stupid happened and somebody else had to step in and fix it. And you could just picture how many times somebody said, I got this, hold my beer. And so number three of the triple dippers is called Hold My Beer. And it's a series of stories where major things are happening and we just got to, somebody's got to step in and say something. And yeah, number three, Hold My Beer on the triple dipper. All right, hey, let me jump into my comments, and I will just remind you that Southern Immediate Care is a sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Atala, Anniston, five locations around the Birmingham area. They're open 7 days a week, y'all. Every time I have been by one of their facilities, because this is who I use, every time I've been by one, super clean, super friendly, super professional, and they see all ages. And they are indeed owned by a Right Side ruffian. So I will just say right now, thank you, Southern Immediate Care, for being the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. So here we go. So yesterday, I hope you were listening. Yesterday we had Boomer McQueen, my favorite time of the week. Yesterday on Boomer McQueen, we talked about the qualities that we would want to see in our next president. And leadership is so key, and it's too often lacking in our public officials right now. If you ask somebody about leadership, you're going to get a variety of responses about what it looks like. Some folks are going to immediately gravitate towards someone they know personally, someone they served with, someone who led their company or their military unit or their church, what have you. But what does leadership look like? Like in your mind, think about it. When you're faced with someone who announces themselves as being the person in charge, does a certain image come to mind? Now, visuals are not everything, mind you. I mean, I've known some guys in the military who could do 100 push-ups without breathing hard, had all the scare me badges on their uniform, and yet they couldn't lead a starving man to a ham sandwich, much less lead troops. Then again, I've met some folks along the way who didn't fit the mold, if you know what I mean. They weren't walking around with movie star good looks or fine suits, but they could put together an effective plan and execute it, and everybody would be on board from the word go. So yeah, I guess looks help, but hey, looks ain't all of it. What about voice? How about the actual way they project their voice? How about the ability to speak to people? I mean, that's surely important because you have to be able to effectively communicate the points about which you're trying to lead. But not everybody has a voice like James Earl Jones or the ability to project their voice across a crowded room. And does that matter? Sure. But I would say it's not the pitch of the voice so much as it is the tone. It's not the ability to speak loudly, but whether or not you do so effectively. So what does a leader look like? What does leadership look like? Well, I could be trite and say you'll know it when you see it. But I'm going to go a step further and say it's really about how well a person can walk in their God-given authority. Does the person exude confidence? Does the person indicate competence? Does the person give you the indication that they are in it for the right reasons? Does the person appear to have wisdom? Does the person care about others? Does the person have a resume, a life, a background that lends some gravitas to who they say they are and what they're doing? If the answer to all those is yes, then you likely have what the Army calls somebody with command presence. When that person walks in the room, the whole room is aware that he or she is there. When a person exhibits command presence, it's not so that they are never to be questioned. It's just that it's likely that people will think twice about questioning them. And this is leadership that's not based upon how you look, but on how you're perceived. Now, it may sound cliched, but it starts with the basics of how you comport yourself. Does the person walk with their head up, their eyes forward, looking around to stay aware? Do they have a firm handshake? Do they have the ability to look somebody in the eye when they talk to them? Is the person able to be knowledgeable and conversant about important topics? Have they prepared for the conversation in advance? Or at the same time, are they yet self-confident enough to say something is out of their wheelhouse and humble enough to ask for more information when they need it? Does the person walk in looking like a rag bag? I mean, not to be confused with casual, but just like having some standards. Is the person able to sit quietly and consume information, or do they seem like they have to have an inordinate need to hear themselves talk, even when it's unnecessary? How quickly can that person adapt to a decision-making process? How quickly can they make snap judgments and then live with them? But also know there's a time and a place for deliberative debate and orderly decision-making. And when the time comes, and all the information is in, and that same person we're talking about rises to their feet and says, okay, here's how it's going to be. What happens in the room? Is there a collective hush, like a respectful pause in the activity that allows comments to move forward? Or does the room keep moving and eyes start rolling and phones start texting because nobody could care what he has to say? You see, command presence, it's a real thing. And I guarantee you, if there was a firm and a positive leader ever in your life that you look up to, I would bet I just described that person. Now, I can think of three examples in current elected leadership, three examples, things that I saw that, wow, they either illustrate what is not or what is command presence. So I remember watching a video of Governor Kay Ivey during the pandemic. She was asked about vaccination rates. And with only like a moderate eye contact to the reporters, she kind of got angry. She responded angrily with an accusatory tone that the pandemic was the fault of the unvaccinated, that the unvaccinated were to blame as opposed to what she called the regular folks. It was awful. It was blame shifting. It was demeaning. It was not leadership. There was zero command presence in that moment. I saw President Joe Biden, you've all seen it too, more than once, speaking at a podium in a very controlled environment where it should go okay, standing there at a lectern with a lost look in his eyes. He couldn't speak words that had been prepared for him in advance. Try as he might, the words just kept eluding him. And it's not a speech impediment. It was a moment in which he was obvious he didn't know what to do or say, and he began to panic, and at that point his words began to make even less sense as he just jumbled them up to get something said. It's sad. It's hollow. It has no sense of confidence or inspiration. It was everything the opposite of command presence. And then I saw an example of one that worked most recently. I saw Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in the GOP primary debate just the other night. He stood in the center stage. He talked with authority. He did not mince his words or stumble around. At one point, the moderator tried to get all the candidates to pretend that they were on a reality show like Survivor and vote one of their peers off the island. Several of the candidates, you could see them. They reached for their pen and paper. They were being dutiful. They were going to follow the directions of the moderator, not DeSantis. He just simply said, no. And he said that it was demeaning of his fellow candidates who had come a long way to debate policy. Every candidate stopped what they were doing and started to agree with him. And the moderator even had to ask, so none of you are going to do it? And every one of them said no. One candidate got all the other candidates to follow his lead. His voice actually rose above the other ones when he was speaking, and the crowd loved it. And that, my friends, was a moment of command presence. Now, Donald Trump is still the top of the ticket, but Ron DeSantis, he was a role model that night for command presence. Yeah, command presence. It's real. It's a thing. It's more than looks and it's more than voice. It's the actual presence a leader gives off that people respond to. It is everything we need in our state and national leaders, and too often it's what we're lacking. So what does leadership look like to you? Yeah, well, maybe you'll know it when you see it, right? And we need more of it. I know that. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Command presence. It's real. And somebody walks in the room and you know they're there, right? And it's not because they're ostentatious or they're putting on airs. It's because they have a presence that makes people want to know what they're about to say or do. It's something that we look for in hard times. It's something that we haven't seen too often in our elected officials. And it's what we desperately need to see in the executive at both the state and the federal level coming up in the next election cycles. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in. Same number for both. A couple of them already in. Brian from Huntsville texted in. He says, Congressman Moe, how about helping others at a baseball game where a wannabe assassin's attacked? Moe has command presence. I don't know what that means, but okay. There's a story behind that text, I can tell already. JT Lacey Springs says, command presence, Phil, you once said, lead, follower, get out of the way. So many of the elected cannot lead. They won't follow. They don't know how to get out of the way. Sadly, they prove it every day. That is true, brother. And we need to see some new leadership that knows how to lead, follow, or get out of the way and also have some command presence. Gary from Decatur. Just think, a great leader like DeSantis almost lost the governor's race to Andrew Gillum, a drug-dependent liar. Okay, what's your point? He didn't lose, but yeah, there's that. I do have to shift gears here. I think it's important to note, little man hit a home run last night. Just saying.
Little man did. It was a home run on errors. I need to point that out.
Oh, no, you don't.
I do need to point that out.
No.
I mean... Okay, granted, he was too fast. They couldn't catch him.
Let me ask you this. Did he hit the ball?
He hit it.
Did he run the entire way around all the bases to get to home?
But you also can state that it is on errors. And I told him that. I said, listen, when you tell people, say, I got a home run on errors.
Okay. All right.
I told him that. But he also asked about his other home runs and his grand slam. He said, well, what about those? I said, those were true. I mean, if you beat the ball all the way back to home plate, you hit a home run in your age group.
But it was also a rough game last night.
It was a rough game.
So y'all played the
we played the old teams, yeah.
like the guys who were driving themselves to the field, right?
Yeah, I think I saw some of them drive and get out of the car and then spit out some chew. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
All right, there's your update. Speaking of updates, if you haven't already done it, man, I mean, if I've already done my NCAA pick'em, everybody should have done it. I mean, that's the way I see it. If Phil's got his in, then everybody should be in. But, yeah, NCAA pick'em, if you haven't done them, reminder, there are three games this evening that are on this week's pick'em. So get out there and get her done.
Got to get them in.
Yeah, I got to get out of 56th place.
Got to jump up a little
and
bit.
Somehow we got to get Boomer out of first place.
I'm not in first. I'm in fourth.
No.
McQueen's? Stop. McQueen's in first.
You are in first place by proxy, and we know it. So let me say this. You got first place on errors. How about that?
On errors. On errors.
Yeah. Looking over the text line before we hit the break, Jeremy from Huntsville says, your words on command presence gathered the hearts and minds of many today. You have it, sir. Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You proved it last week when I asked you to lead us in prayer, and thank you again. He says, I know many were touched by the prayer and felt to be part of something bigger. Please lead us in prayer again soon. I will, brother. And listen, I appreciate it. I don't want to abuse the privilege, but please know that I do pray quite often. And we pray, actually, Boomer and I pray before the show every single day. And part of what we pray is that when we hit the airwaves, that we will not only honor him and expand his kingdom, but that we'll empower all of y'all and bring you a moment during the day that you enjoy. So there's that. And thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate you, man. John from Huntsville is in. He's here. We wondered where he was. I was getting concerned. We hadn't texted yet. Phil, nice monologue. You're on your way to an A+. Whoop, whoop. I'm just saying.
Already.
I don't want to brag or anything, but there it is.
He does love your monologues. Everybody loves your monologues.
I'm digging it. Thank you so much, John. Steve from Madison says, this is Steve-O from Madison. I watched the impeachment hearings, waiting to hear the damning evidence. There's still nothing. I think you said that again yesterday, Steve. So Steve doesn't believe that Biden's done anything wrong is what I'm seeing. Steve, you're welcome to call in and put your voice to that. But I'm pretty sure you're going to find that when they pull up the debit card that he had for his son's account and he got used Chinese money, it's going to be a problem. I'm pretty sure, by the way, Steve, that the latest things they found were the transfers from China to Hunter Biden's account used Joe Biden's home address as the home of record for the account processing. That could be a problem. But, you know, it's not damning yet, apparently, so we'll just wait and see. Anyway, plenty of stuff on tap for you. Coming up here in just a minute, we're going to jump right in. I'm calling it the political arms race. The political arms race. Like, okay, let's talk in military terms for a minute. When you assess the mission before you, you have to assess it through a variety of factors. The military teaches you sometimes to examine things through certain factors, like this thing called METTC, mission, enemy, time, terrain, troops available, and civilians in the area of operations. So METTC, you examine all these things. You assess your mission. Well, who are we? When I'm looking at this, what's the mission? Who's the enemy in this case? What troops do we have available? How are we going to get this done? And I'm talking about the elections. Let's talk about a political arms race. That's coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.